line at 970-242-1340 on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
O'clock. Appreciate you joining us, Jim and Cake, today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thoughts on a variety of things. Death of O.J. Simpson. Who would you put on your Mount Demore? Good work there, Steve. Good work.
It's great.
So you can text or call us, 970-242-1340. We had the text earlier from James over at Cut Over Craft Coffee and Beer. Great points, but even if he's not the racist he was perceived to be, still not a great fella. No, he was not a great guy. I don't think that he was a very thin-skinned, quick to anger, but apparently not the racist that everybody made him out to be.
You have to wonder, though, if maybe it was sort of like, was he accused of being racist because he was a Delta Bravo, or was he a Delta Bravo because he was accused of being racist? You know,
or did he just, was he racist at one point and then over the course of time his position evolved? I mean, they never asked him about blacks in baseball until 1952, well after his career was over. And did he evolve? Did he go and watch black players that, the Buck O'Neills, the Josh Gibsons, those players? And by that point in time, too, Jackie Robinson, Larry Doby had broke the color barrier, and that he had seen black players. He mentioned that, Willie Mays is the only player he'd pay to go see.
Right.
And that maybe his position evolved. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it certainly sounds like that he didn't die a racist old man. He went to Negro League games, sat in the dugout. They apparently didn't think that of him either because he threw out the opening pitch at some Negro League games. You don't typically get asked to do that if people consider you a racist.
I was going to say,
they usually don't get that kind of distinction, that kind of honor, if you're going someplace where people feel like you hate them, you're a racist. They don't usually offer that opportunity up to you to do that. So Ty Cobb, I don't know if James, I agree, probably not a perfect guy, but also maybe it's been embellished what a racist he was. What a bad guy that he was. I think that's fair to say. So text or call us today, 970-242-1340. And also today, Mary Doan, Central girls basketball coach, will be the next girls basketball coach at Grand Junction High School. It's been a crazy period of change, has it not?
Across all of Valley basketball.
Yeah, with Mike DeGeorge and his announcement that he's going to Cal Poly.
Oh, Cal Poly social media did like a compilation video of all the festivities that they've put Mike DeGeorge through. Like, he's throwing out the first pitch at a Cal Poly baseball game. He's getting, the jersey with his name on it with a 24. He's, they're parading old MDG. He looks good. He's got a glow. It's
hard because We think the world of Mike.
We do.
But it's also very painful to watch, is it not?
A little bit. There's a little bit of, man. But you get why, right? Because
I totally get why.
As he said in our conversation with him, as the news was breaking, the amount of money that he was getting offered to coach D1 basketball if he had stayed at the D2 level to earn that same amount of money, he'd have to work well into his 60s. And that's just not feasible. It was a business decision, and again,
and also too, consider this, that for Mike DeGeorge, I mean, this is a D1 opportunity.
Exactly.
This is an opportunity to go and reach a career goal. Uh-huh. May not start it as a career goal for Mike. I mean, you know, boy, it'd be nice to get there someday. It'd be nice to get to that point. And probably thought that was not going to happen for him. And has done a great job at the D3 level. At Rhodes College out in Tennessee, what he's done here at CMU, of D3, D2, of taking bad programs
and turning them around,
or struggling programs in the case of Mesa, when Andy Shantz was let go, and then Mike came in and took it over. That I think for him, he's like, you know, this is kind of where I'm at, and I'm okay with that, and I'm successful at what I'm doing at this level. And then when you get a D1 program
calling you up,
knocking on your door, and you see the money that's there, and you're at the stage of your life where I never thought this would happen, I have to start thinking about my long-term financial requirements. It's tough, though. It's tough. It's tough to see Mike. It's tough to see Mike happy. And we're not the ones making him happy.
It's like a bad rom-com.
It's like you had a breakup. It's like you know, someone you were dating and now they're dating somebody else. And look how happy they are.
You're like,
we were happy too at one time. You know, we were like, really happy.
Damn it.
There was a couple sweet 16s there. There was RMAC championships. There was a lot of good moments. Picnics in the park. Long walks on the beach. And now you're taking those long walks on the beach with somebody else.
On an actual beach.
On an actual beach. Yeah, exactly. Oh.
We digress.
It's just hard. It's just hard. It is. It's tough. But the news today that Mary Doan's going to go to Grand Junction to coach. And like I said, in text exchange with Josh King last night, Central's AD, going to miss Mary. She's done a heck of a job there, obviously. Tremendous job coaching the Central girls. But and I know that family was mentioned as part of it. I have yet to actually talk with Mary, text either via text or a phone call. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to perhaps get Mary on at some point. But, you know, this is the news that is official release has not even come out from the district yet on this. So keep that in mind. But it has been confirmed by Josh King.
This is why you listen to this program, because we at times find ourselves, whether we want to or not, being the one to break this type of news.
And I have to thank my, and I cannot mention my source.
Don't name your sources.
But appreciate my source on this. Very reliable source.
Very reliable.
And I probably owe my source lunch at some point.
At some point.
For some of this information. I probably owe this person, who will remain nameless and genderless.
Don't divulge your source.
Exactly. Oh, that's not going to happen.
It's one of the first things you learn in...
Do not do that.
Dr. Carroll's media law and ethics class that I took at night law class. By the way, you talk about, and I love Dr. Carroll, but man, a 3-hour night law and ethics class with a professor whose voice was just the softest, soothiest voice. I mean, forget Ambien. That was a hard class to stay awake through. That's why I sat front and center. If I had any hope of passing, and actually, I'll give myself a little credit. I did pretty well in that class. But that was not an easy task.
I'm sorry. I'm checking my phone at the moment because Mary Doan's texted me.
Oh?
And so, may not be today. May not happen today.
Probably next week.
Mary's got a meeting coming up. I'm going to try to perhaps at some point here see if we can maybe get her on in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll see. We'll see if she's available for that.
And
if not Monday on the program.
There you go.
All right. So, latest on the Masters, on the tournament, Bryson DeChambeau, 7-under, Scottie Scheffler, 6-under, Nikolai Hawkgaard, and I'm probably murdering his name, massacre in my name. He's 5-under, Max Homa's 5-under, Danny Willett is 4-under right now, with Ryan Fox and Cam Davis both 3-under right now at the Masters. Hello, friends. Good morning, friends. All right, let's move on. Move from golf, comparing Mike George to a special someone that just left us for walks on the beach with somebody else, to taking a trip around the NFL this morning.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so we'll start things out with Broncos will be visiting with veteran cornerback Levi Wallace. So apparently they will get together. Bleacher Report's lead NFL insider Jordan Schultz says the veteran cornerback will visit the Broncos coming up today, by the way. So that meeting will take place today. Mike Kliss, Broncos unofficial mouthpiece, 9 News Broncos insider, confirms the same thing. Wallace, 12 career interceptions, 54 pass breakups during his time with the Bills and the Steelers. Undrafted free agent, but played with the Bills in 2018, 4 seasons with them before playing the last 2 years in Pittsburgh. So that would be the veteran option to start alongside Patrick Surtain II if Riley Moss or Damari Mathis don't end up winning that job. So we'll see what happens there. But the Broncos are at least trying to address the cornerback spot opposite PS2 with a veteran player. Also, that in other news and notes this morning, as far as the Broncos and the draft coming up, of course, Denver at number 12 right now in the draft. And according to ESPN's Jordan Reed, an anonymous AFC executive.
It's always an anonymous AFC executive.
Doesn't think that the Broncos' current quarterback room is a finished product.
No.
No, duh. No way Sean Payton goes into the year with that quarterback room, which is right now.
Thanks for the news that time, Brokaw.
Yeah, thank you. Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci. Yeah, no kidding that's...
I haven't learned a thing.
Yeah, no kidding that they're going to probably draft somebody. There's probably either going to bring a free agent quarterback that's still out there, or they're going to draft a guy. Duh.
Feeling stupid? I know I am.
You
don't need to.
I go to Mile High Huddle sometimes just to mock Mile High Huddle and some of the things that they... And, of course, that's also coming from ESPN, too. They're just reporting what ESPN... They're just being an aggregator here. They're just reporting what ESPN has reported.
To this anonymous AFC executive, I get that, you want to kind of save face, and maybe you don't. You don't want to talk ill of other clubs publicly because you're going to see them at winter meetings and, your trips to Miami. I get it. But my guy... You do not need the shield of anonymity to tell me that the Broncos quarterback room is an unfinished product. You don't need to tell me that, you dingus. That is one of the most idiotic things I think I've ever... Well... It's not the most idiotic thing I've ever heard.
But it's bad.
It's on the list.
It's bad.
It's on the list. I mean, come on. And furthermore, to the point, you talk about, ESPN breaking this news. Got to have the graphics and everything.
Yeah, of course. I don't know if they went to that. I don't think it was that. They treated it with that kind of...
Gravitas,
that kind of fanfare. I think it was, this guy said this, and what a surprise. No surprise, actually.
Nah, it's not a surprise. You know what it is? It's George Payton. That's why it's anonymous, because he's like, I want to keep my job, but I also want to tell the truth here.
We're not, the two guys we got, we're not thrilled with either one of them. So we're going to be doing something different there.
That's the only logical explanation.
The source is
the George source. Payton. The call's coming from inside the house.
It's George Payton. George Payton.
No, George.
Oh, all right. Around the NFL with Jim and Cake today. So on Mile High Report, too, they have a interesting little piece called the best 12 NFL draft picks of the past 12 years, since that's where Denver currently sits right now, leading up to the April 25th draft. So they have a list here, and we'll go 12 to 1 just very quickly.
And these are, sorry, one more time, the 12 best
12th overall picks in the draft.
Okay.
And over the past 12 years, we're staying with the number 12 here.
I'm noticing a theme.
Yes, there's a theme from a Mile High Report. Number 12 is a name we've said a few times the last day or two, because he could be on your Mount D-more. Henry Ruggs III.
Oh.
I have him number 12. Number 11 is DJ Hayden. Got drafted by the Raiders in 2013.
Okay.
While Ruggs had the potential to be pretty good until, of course, the infamous automobile accident. DJ Hayden, guy that never panned out for the Raiders. He played at the University of Houston, very athletic, but never lived up to being a first-round pick.
Raiders 0 for 2 on the 12th overall pick here.
Not good. Number 10, 2015, the Browns took defensive tackle Danny Shelton. And didn't do particularly well.
Shocker.
He turned into a journeyman player. He did win a ring with the Patriots in 2018, and he was with the Chiefs in 2023. So he did at least get a couple Super Bowl rings.
But how important was he? How vital was he to those team successes,
though? Not vital, no. Remember, good player at the University of Washington, a beast up front, but never turned into much of anything in the NFL. Jameson Williamson, wide receiver for the Lions in 2022. And he transferred from Ohio State to Alabama, had an ACL issue.
Ooh.
That always seemed to be a problem for him. Had a little problem with sports gambling. Had a suspension, was lifted for sports gambling. And he's still with the Lions right now. So he's still on their roster. But when was the last time you heard a lot about Jameson Williams?
Not a lot.
Not a whole lot. Number 8. Guy that could be on your Mount D-more.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
National champion at Clemson. Superstar. Came to the league as one of the best young quarterbacks, bona fide franchise QB, and then things went south.
The massages.
And I'm talking really went south.
Literally.
As in something he asked women to do south of the border. How this is going to end up, we don't know. Of course, now with Cleveland, after he got traded to them, Brown's given up a king's ransom for him, and he has yet to be anywhere close to the player that he was with the Houston Texans.
Or for how much money they're paying him.
Yeah. Number 7 on this list. This is the best.
Best 12th overall picks.
Over the last 12 years.
Over the last 12 years.
Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle with the Saints, 2016. Good player. Played when Sean Payton was there. Suffered an Achilles injury in 2019. Then had a knee injury in 2020. Player that teams still go out and pursue when he's available. Played for the Jets and the Texans. Now he plays for the Bengals. But the injury history has kept him from probably fully living up to his potential. 2019, this is 6th overall, Rashard Gary, Green Bay Packers. He's had at least 9 sacks 2 of the past 3 seasons. And he had 6 in the one that he didn't. Has been more of a situational guy. But a good player on the defensive line for the Green Bay Packers. Is he first round, lived up to 12th overall? Know about that. But a good player. This guy is kind of living up to that and probably has exceeded maybe in some ways his draft slot. And that's the fifth overall guy on this list of the 12 best.
12th overall.
Of the best of the 12th overall picks of the last 12 years. Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
For the Lions. Former Alabama running back. He's been really impressive early on in his career. Fourth on the list, defensive tackle Vita Vea from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's pretty good.
Pretty consistent. Super Bowl champion in 2021. Went to the Pro Bowl that year. Plays nose tackle, so it's not like it's the most glamorous position in the world. He gets a lot of attention, but Vita Vea is considered one of the better nose guards in the league. Number three, Odell Beckham Jr., 2014 with the Giants. One of the very best wide receivers in the league.
For like 2 years.
And now just kind of...
He's just kind of there.
Bounces around. Was with the Ravens most recently. Playing the AFC Championship game with the Ravens last season. Fletcher Cox, number two.
Yeah.
Eagles in 2012, an absolute stud. Member of their Super Bowl championship team, considered an Eagles legend. Pro Bowl six times, first team All-Pro once, second team All-Pro three times. Yeah, he's pretty good. And then last, Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah.
Was taken with the 12th pick in 2021.
I've heard he's kind of, though, hasn't quite reached the level of Mount Dmore that we've been talking about.
You know, I read a piece about this, about Micah Parsons, and the Cowboys supposedly don't like him, and they'd be fine if he
doesn't really get along with teammates.
And some of it's because he just kind of says what he thinks. It's not like he's done anything criminal.
Yeah.
Other than he's just maybe not always the most, he's not a guy that just always just goes along to get along. And that could be Micah Parsons' biggest problem. But he's one of the very best defensive players in the NFL. There's very little doubt about that. Could he be a better teammate? Probably. Could he probably shut up, not talk so much about things, and be so opinionated in podcasts and other things and press conferences? Maybe so. But sometimes some of the stuff he's said about coaching and things like that with the Cowboys, he's been pretty spot on.
Yeah.
And so Micah Parsons, the best 12th overall pick over the last 12 years.
Do the Broncos get themselves a gem at 12th overall this year? Do they even stay at 12th overall?
I don't know. It depends on who they want. And who is that? Is it truly J.J. McCarthy? Or is that a smokescreen?
Oh, we came up with a new nickname, Buckeye Boy and I did, for J.J. McCarthy. Jar Jar McCarthy.
Jar Jar. I've seen interviews. He does not like to talk like Jar Jar Binks.
No. But we feel very similar about old J.J. McCarthy as prequel watchers in the 90s felt about Jar Jar Binks. So, which is to say we think he's a big old doofus. But that's just, and I will admit, maybe that's some of Buckeye Boy's white hot hatred of Michigan rubbing off.
Could be.
It is. I mean, I was with the man for like 5-6 days in a row while you were gone.
I'm with him a lot. And I don't let that typically get to me. I think they're I wish McCarthy would go back and play another year.
Just to prove he can do it without.
Yeah, I feel better about a Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. even with their warts.
Yeah.
Than I do about McCarthy, who's very unproven.
He's like ground beef. He could either be a really good meatloaf or an absolutely garbage dog food pile.
It's a pie that I'd like to see cooked, or like a steak. It's a steak I'd like to see cooked a little more to my liking.
Exactly.
There's way too much red in J.J. McCarthy. Needs to be a little more well cooked. before we need feel real good about JJ McCarthy.
We like the pink. We don't like the.
Yeah, but I don't hate him like you guys do, particularly Buckeye. I have my concerns about him. If Denver drafts him and they pass up a guy like Penix, which I can, Michael Penix with the injuries, I understand why there would be teams would be reticent to select Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Because of that. Bo Nix, I get it. You guys keep, oh, he's just Jarrett Stidham. I don't think he's just Jarrett Stidham. I don't think that's accurate. Maybe the Auburn numbers, yes. The numbers, though, playing with Oregon were off the charts. And he does fit the Drew Brees pocket passer, accurate, you know, the stuff. Well, he can't drive the ball down the field and make big vertical throws. Well, Sean Payton doesn't ask his quarterbacks to do a whole lot of that.
Right.
Because they had a guy that made big, deep vertical throws.
And it was mobile in the pocket.
That was Russell Wilson.
And Sean Payton did not like that
guy. Did not like that. And so Bo Nix, to me, fits more what Sean Payton is looking for. So for the NFL, the draft coming up, that the NFL did not invite to Detroit to be in the green room, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. Were not picked among the top 15 to 20 selections. They were not asked to be in Detroit. Kind of interesting.
Fascinating.
That the quarterbacks, it'll be their Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. But those two, Nix and Penix, not asked to be there. Though there are people that think Penix will definitely go in the first 15. And the Bo Nix could very well go in the first 15. Interesting. That'll be interesting to see where that goes. I'm going to ask your opinion on this very quickly to kind of wrap it up here. They're going to allow teams to have a third alternate helmet starting next season.
I saw this.
Do you think the, if it's not the snow-capped mountain, which it sounds like it's not going to have the old Denver D logo, it's going to be the current logo, because they've already said it's going to be the current Broncos logo on the new uniforms when they come out. Are we going to see maybe the original Bronco blue, the lighter blue, the original helmet as a third alternate helmet?
Let me counter that by telling you about something that is sort of floating around in the rumor mill. Because a season ticket holder for the Broncos got an email from the team about, you know, season tickets and all that, and announced in this email, mentioned something about Club 1977, Adam Power Field. That included in the little banner at the top what looked to be a modified or perhaps even updated version of the old school Denver D logo.
Okay.
So to answer your question, if we're talking alternate helmets, do we think the Broncos are going to put something like that on there? I mean, might as well. It's a fan favorite. It's, you know, and if it captures the spirit of the Broncos of old, you know, the Orange Crush, sure, why not? It's marketing. The only issue I have, as we've seen with baseball and the conversation about the jerseys and how the NBA has kind of done a lot of alternate jerseys and different colors, and you have the City Connect jerseys for baseball and all this stuff. It's like, at what point are we going to just oversaturate? You know what I mean? Like
the Oregon effect.
The Oregon, exactly. It's totally the Oregon effect. Like, when are we going to kind of be like, there's...
It's uniform fatigue.
A little bit of uniform fatigue. Totally agree. So
it's just going to be a bridge too far. You're going to have now a third alternate helmet and...
Yeah.
I don't have as big a problem with that as some people do. I don't mind seeing couple different unis. doesn't bother me.
No, a couple different's fine. It's when you do it every single year or every, you know, it's like try to be Oregon 2.0. That's when you go, okay, let's dial it back a little bit. When the color schemes aren't even like remotely close, like you're not going to see, or you shouldn't see, I should say, you won't typically see like a Broncos alt black uniform.
I'd hope not.
Unless everyone in the league was doing it, like if they all had like we're doing like a blackout game or something,
then you know, okay,
all right, whatever, guess. Sure.
I mean, I've seen black Broncos jerseys, you know, that for fans, not ones that they wore.
Yeah, for like the kids.
Yeah, it'd be okay.
Not full time, though.
Not a full time deal. A couple other things. The Las Vegas Raiders.
The
Raiders have the best odds to draft Michael Penix Jr., by the way. Ooh. Followed by the Vikings and the Broncos, both at plus 470.
You know me, I've been singing the Michael Penix Jr. song. I've been tooting that horn.
I like Michael Penix Jr. I'd be perfectly thrilled and happy to see Michael Penix Jr. quarterback the Broncos moving forward.
Far more than J.J. McCarthy.
One other thing this morning as well, got to wrap it up with this. Tom Brady.
Oh, God.
Have you heard this?
Yes.
Tom Brady says he's not opposed to coming back to play in the NFL.
Of course not, because... Oh, God. Just stop it.
Brady was on the Deep Cut with Vic Blend's podcast.
Always on a podcast.
He was asked if he would pick up the phone if a team in need called him with an offer. I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner of an NFL team. Remember, he's trying to be a minority owner of the Raiders. I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit like MJ coming back, I don't know if they'd let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Okay.
And he mentioned potential scenario. Remember last year with the Niners needing a quarterback when Brock Purdy got hurt, and mentioned that if the New England or the Raiders, if they called, that he would be interested in playing for one of them. If it was a scenario where maybe they're a team on the cusp of making the playoffs. Interesting.
Very interesting and not surprising in the least.
He just can't get away, can he?
No, he can't.
He's just heavily addicted.
Just can't do it.
All right, 8:32. It's time to play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me!
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
He cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
Yes, it is your chance to win with case of beer today, courtesy of our friends over at High Country Beverage. Some fat tire for you on the docket. I think that's the word I was trying to say. Anyway.
We'll go with that.
Sure. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen? Obviously, if you're not over the age of 21, please sit it out. And if you've won within the last 2 weeks already, please sit it out. But if you're good to go, you're past the two-week window, you're over 21 years old, you can play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen for your chance to win a case of beer from Fat Tire today. What goes great with baseball? Ice cream. 2004 Sports Illustrated On Campus Best College Baseball Venue has plenty of ice cream since their stadium is named after an ice cream company. It helps that the ice cream company in question made millions of dollars in donations for renovations to this stadium in 2011. Ding, ding, ding. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
All right, first correct answer wins. Couple things to keep in mind. If you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Must be 21 to win. And if you don't want it,
come on,
don't play the game. Okay, simple as that. I don't drink beer. Well, okay. Well, maybe I don't know what to tell you in that regard. I don't know what to recommend to you.
We don't know what you want.
But if you do win today, you're into the drawing for the Never Ending Contest. That sweet Honda street bike for motorcycle accessories, yes, with all the gear. Get details at theteam1340.com. But send your answer in on the text line. 970-242-1340. All right, Jackson Wilson's here. We'll talk with him next. Talk about the Avalanche. Talk about DU playing for the NCAA championship. Oh, and about the Utah Coyotes. Shaking his head over here. Will he continue to be a fan of that team if they move to Utah? We'll find out. Inquiring minds want to know. That's on the way next.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The Team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with Cake and Jackson Wilson, who's really regretting coming in this morning. Really regretting it.
Thought we were going to talk about the Avalanche.
We are. We're going to talk about the Avs. We will. But we have to talk about the team that could... They're a rival, but they're not a rival. They're in the Central, but there's never been that feeling. I mean, there's been moments where the Avs and Coyotes have had... Had a rivalry feel to it.
The COVID playoff year they played.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days.
Back in the good old days. But this could get really interesting with the Coyotes move to Utah.
Probably going to happen.
More of a course, more closely aligned regionally. Like the rivalry that the Nuggets have with the Utah Jazz. I mean, how long have you been a Coyotes fan?
Since I was about 6 years old.
Okay, so this is painful stuff for you. this is child trauma.
I'm losing it.
Are you going to be okay? You're not.
No, I'm not.
My wife
be
accuses
all right.
me sometimes of being like Barbara Walters and trying to make people cry. I'm not trying to make you cry, man.
I've always seen myself as a Coyotes fan as like a Cubs fan. Right. Like I had to accept the fact that we were probably going to go 100 years and not win a championship. Right. So like I already had that level of fandom cemented. Like I'm going to die without watching them win a Stanley Cup. Well, now they're dying. They're gone. Now they're going to be gone. So I don't know how to handle this. And I'm not handling it any particularly well way either.
No. What happened last night? You were.
I had to put all my frustrations out onto the ice
because
I was mad about the Coyotes moving.
Did you play with a renewed fire and passion,
yeah.
or did you play out of control, like an angry drunk guy at the bar screaming at everybody? And
I think I had like 3 goals in the final like 4 minutes to win.
Look at you!
Thanks, Cake.
So maybe this is the thing that gets Jackson Wilson going. His team. Possibly moving someplace else.
I got to bring him back.
Maybe you need to keep this a constant state of them maybe moving.
Yeah.
This will be a 3-goal night every night for you.
Wow. Thanks, Jim. Let's just keep my spirits high.
No,
pressure's on.
I'm trying to help you and your teammates get the best out of you, even though that means maybe doing it through
it's our own fault.
Breaking your heart as a fan.
It's the Coyotes' own fault, Jim. We broke ourselves. And it happened a long, long time ago.
It just seemed like when they were playing a mullet and then the vote came down against the new arena,
right.
It was just kind of like, they're screwed. And this whole thing, they're going to bid on land in June to build an arena. And
yeah.
It's a land auction, as we talked about yesterday.
It's a land auction. It would still be many moons before they even had a functional arena. The NHL doesn't want them playing at the College Arena next year. Completely understandable.
Yeah.
They came out to listen to a reporter named Craig Morgan, who has been covering the Coyotes for a while. He was on Spin Chicklets, the main hockey podcast. But he was talking about how Glendale Arena did offer them a 12-year lease, right? Back when everyone was like, oh, they're not paying their bills, blah, blah. Yeah, that was all BS. But they offered them a 12-year lease, but Bettman in the NHL – and the new Coyotes ownership was like, well, it's already financially not going to work out there.
Right.
Like they knew that. So they were not willing to go ahead and put 12 years down in that building, even though it was a good building. So that was kind of part of it. And, you know, being at Mullet and obviously, like you said, the arena not going through in Tempe last year. And now, you know, they have a potential to buy some land. The town mayor, the Scottsdale mayor, doesn't want them there, though, because they're concerned about water consumption from the
right.
you know, from the arena, which is, you know, that's a real thing, even though they steal all of Colorado's water. But, you know, it's true. It's just, you know, it's one of those things. And you got this hungry guy out there in Salt Lake where I think what's going to happen is.
And he's developed a really good relationship with Gary Batman.
Oh, great. he's taking my team, dude. I'm going to find this guy. No, but.
Just go to a Jazz game and he'll probably be there.
No. I don't even know what to think about. I'm still so mad. Anyways, so the NHL is going to. They're going to buy the team for like $1 billion.
Right.
And then they're going to flip it.
Like 1.3 billion.
For 1.3. Yeah, so, they're going to buy it from the Yotes. They're
right.
Gonna,
for but, a, then, but then they'll a sell billion. It to Smith for like 1.3.
100%. Right, yeah. Right. And then they're, you know, flipping it that way. And then as you were mentioning right before we went on there, when you were getting me really fired up, you know, for on air, like you do with your guests probably.
I always do that.
Yeah, some behind the scenes for the pile. Yeah, he's just in here riling me up.
That's what friends do, man.
We play. They're you know, looking at in 2030 potentially getting it back through an expansion team, because it looks like, you know, the NHL is potentially looking to have another expansion by the end of the decade. So, you know, I don't know if I believe that part of it, if they'd actually ever really get a team back. I mean, like, it's kind of like those Thrasher fans down in Atlanta who were like,
well, oh, there's been talk about Atlanta getting another team. It's like, why? You already went through the Flames and the Thrashers, yeah. And Atlanta just doesn't support it. What are you doing?
And then you can also sit there and have that potential same conversation about Arizona, right? Yeah. And you know, I don't think they ever had that arena in the exact location it should have ever been. This new land auction is off the Scottsdale and 101, which is a lot better area for people who would be potentially coming to these games and being season ticket holders, right? You know, closer to the practice facility for these players. So I think this, if they can find a way to buy the land, they end up building an arena. I think that there is potential for them to come back. But here in, you know, 7 days or whatever, I think it was March 18th, 6 days, you know, you can expect them to probably be moving to Salt Lake.
Because what I read is they made a schedule for Arizona.
Yeah.
They made a schedule for Salt Lake. That they've
we
already,
know what
they,
that means.
They've already, they've come up backup plans. They've already told Smith about what needs to happen with the Delta Center. And they're gonna have an exhibition game this fall that's already hosted it. That's not long-term. He's going to have to build a hockey arena, a hockey-specific arena at some point. But he's well-heeled. And there seems, and he wants a team badly. And so it seems almost that this is inevitable.
Yeah. And I mean, and they got, again, there, he can put, you know, that work into that arena out there pretty fairly quick for the NHL team. And they have practice rinks out there available. Like, I mean, a lot of signs point to it making a lot of sense, right? But it'll also be very interesting to see what the actual hockey market for a National Hockey League team is in Salt Lake. You know, Arizona's got 15 rinks, one of the biggest, you know, populated metropolitan areas in this country. And, you know, Salt Lake, I think they're going to get a lot of interest, you know, and they have some people that go to those Utah Grizzly games, but, you know, it's an
team that used to be in Denver.
Yep. But it's an untapped kind of market though. Like, so like, we don't know what we're going to get. Like, they're obviously going to have a new team buzz for a little while, but, you know, we'll
this is sustainable.
Stay. Right, exactly. So,
and so if it does happen, this is how it could have another impact on the Avalanche. You're going to have to realign divisions.
No.
That's what they're talking about. That's what they're.
I don't think you do, though.
They're saying that this could happen, though. I'm just saying this is what I'm reading, that they would move the Avalanche and Salt Lake or Utah Coyotes or whatever.
Don't make me start coming up with names on air right now.
They would move to the Pacific, and then Edmonton and Calgary would move to the Central, which doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No, I don't think, and that, I don't, that's why it wouldn't. And then on top of that, I mean, Salt Lake is almost in a little better area for the Central. I mean, it's closer to Colorado. And
yeah, I read that. It's like, why would they do that?
I don't think they will, especially with how the realignment is currently set up right now. I mean, maybe they have an idea for future expansion teams. If they really think Arizona is going to come back in the mix, they get a Houston team. They get, you know what I mean?
Which, like, makes more sense than Atlanta.
100%. And then you would look at potentially looking at really reshuffling your Pacific and Central around. You know, it'll be interesting. I really don't know how many more Eastern town or cities would be able to have an NHL team. You know, I mean, there's always potential hope for like a, I don't know, like a Cleveland, but I don't think they would ever host a team. Like, so all the expansions, all the expansions are going to be Central and Pacific. Right. And then if anything, they would just probably flood a Central team over to the East, kind of like they did with Detroit. You know, about, has that been a decade ago now or so?
Probably longer than that. Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be really interesting how all that alignment comes, but yeah, I don't expect them to be the Coyotes out there. I think the Kachina got taken out back behind the barn and had its last breath. It's not a lot of gloomy days this
week. Stay strong, my friend. Stay strong.
No, I can't.
Let's talk about the Avalanche. Can we do that?
Oh, a real hockey team who's going to stay in their state
for
many more moves.
Beloved, entrenched.
Oh, awesome.
Because you have players like Nathan MacKinnon. Should we just give him the heart now?
Yeah.
And just be done with it?
Please.
The game he had against Minnesota was just man among boys kind of game.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so fast. Like, and his awareness to on one of those goals, right, where he just blows by everyone. But it's how he builds up his speed coming back to support the play. And then as he swings into the wall, he's crossing over. He's accelerating. And then he picks that puck up. He's gone. I mean, He's already at 18, 20 miles an hour before he even crosses that first blue line. There's no chance that you're going to turn and catch that guy, like even as an NHL defenseman who has been training his whole life on skating. Like, he's the real deal. But again, you know, he's had a fantastic regular season. He should win the Hart. I am really excited for him to win it, actually. I think he will. But again, once we get to these playoffs, right, and we've talked about this past few years, a lot of teams get real smart real quick too. Yeah. So you got to make sure that these secondary lines are producing, because even though he is the best player on the planet, I think he's really going to take over some of these playoff games. You know, we got to make sure we got a little depth behind
the middle stats, and guys like that are going to come into play even
Big
more.
Big Val staying available. Yep. You know, he's definitely, he's had his availability issues, you know, since last playoffs, you know, and maybe a little before that, you know, so it'll be really interesting to see what's going on. The Moose has to come back, you know, like that's going to be big. I think he'll be fine, but you know, they're probably just being safe with him. Don't want to send him out too early. Game 81, 82, he gets clipped again. That'd be worst case, right? Yeah. So, but no, everything's good. You know, I've seen a lot of people a little concerned about goaltending back there. You know, Georgie's given up a bunch of goals in some of these wins. But
and Annan's played pretty well for the most part.
Yeah, you know, and so it'll be really interesting to see who they match up with, what we're looking like. Because right now it looks like...
I saw was Winnipeg, but... Who we'll have tomorrow here on the team, by the way, Avs in Winnipeg.
Is that who it is?
That's what I saw the last time. That's
a good team, man. Yeah, that looks like, us and Winnipeg are tied right now for second in the Central. It says we're in third. Exact same record, so we must have lost the head-to-head a little bit. That's going to be a hard-nosed team.
Yeah. And of course, tomorrow we'll have it 1:30 right here on the team. I do want to ask you about DU.
Oh, that was awesome.
Gritty win against Boston University.
Yeah. Dude, 5-hole shot in overtime. Smart shot. Like, get it low. Get it on net. Goalie had no idea.
And both goalies have played really well in that game.
Oh, that goalie thought he was going high for sure. Like, he thought that puck was, like, and, you know, that's how most kids shoot nowadays. Yeah. They, you know, they don't have any pucks on the ice. But that goalie thought it was coming a little higher, and he was just slow on the drop and beautiful shot, just really smart, and you know, went in. I think he was just looking for a rebound. He's just getting on net, you know, just trying to jam it in.
Boston College wins convincing fashion over Michigan, number one overall seed.
Oh my god,
can DU beat them? They're good,
dude. They're really good. Will Smith is the real deal. That kid will be in the NHL next year. They can, you know, like they have a shot. DU's a really good team, and I mean, and it's college hockey. It takes one great game, and you know, and if you can systematically shut down some of those really good guys on BC, like they can, you know, and it's just going to be, we're going to have to find out. Like, I'm excited to watch that game tomorrow because I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's potential for BC to go out there and win 5-0, right? And then there's also potential for DU to go out there and keep it tied or win by a goal or two. Right. So I really don't know, but it'll be some good hockey for sure.
All right. Of course, lots of stuff going on. River City Sportplex, RiverCitySportplex.com to find out more about that. Anything very quickly need to mention about that?
Yeah, we have actually a tournament coming up where we're going to support a family from Durango who they were in a car accident, and so they could really use some help. Their son was on the team that won the 4A state championship.
It's great you guys are doing that.
Yeah, so anyone, please feel free to reach out to me, jwilson@rivercitysportplex.com via email. And then also May 18th, we're going to have the Avalanche alumni are coming, and we're still looking for sponsorships. And anyone who wants to get involved via that and have their logo around or sponsorships.
We spend more time next week. We'll talk about that.
Perfect. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, let's do that next week. Yeah. All right, Jackson, appreciate it, man. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Team Sports Network.